kidnapped by the rapist to add to the pain.
Catty Bree wanted to reply to that misinformation, for surely Wolfgar had not raped Meralda, far from it. He had intervened and stolen away the baby Coulson to save her from the vengeance of the Lord of Orkney. For though Meralda was the Lord's wife, the foolish Lord was not the child's father. Nor was Wolfgar. Meralda had been in love with another man, Catty Bree did not know his name, when the Lord of Orkney had forced her to become his bride, not knowing that she was already with child.
"The bastard lady," the merchant went on, and shook her head and sighed.
"And her father?" Catty Bree was afraid of the answer, but she had to know.
"Barbarian beast, curse his name, whatever his name might be. Not one spoken in Orkney, I warn you."
Catty Bree closed her eyes and forced herself to settle down and suppress her need to set things straight here. She looked back at the woman and nodded, managing a smile before turning away.
"You buying that apple?"
the woman said sharply. Catty Bree turned back to regard the fruit, which was certainly past its prime, but she looked at the scowling merchant and reluctantly scooped it up.
"4 pieces of silver,"
the merchant demanded, several times the value. But Catty Bree wasn't about to argue any longer, so she handed over the coins, then walked somberly down the street, right out of the town of Orkney. She meandered down the stony mountain passes to the sea, settling on a dark stone and staring into the cold surf. The scene befit her mood, for this day had fast turned into a sobering reminder of the fickle nature of memory and of time itself. Wolfgar had lived his life admirably with regards to the events in Orkney. He had helped Lady Meralda to do the right thing, and had raised Coulson with love and decency, and then had, at great personal and emotional expense, returned the child to her rightful mother. And for all that, he was not remembered fondly up here in Orkney, quite the opposite, so it would seem. Catty Bree glanced back up the rock cliffs to see the distant rooftops and snaking streams of fireplace smoke drifting up into the cold autumn air. It seemed a cold smoke to her, wrought of a cold fire in a cold place, and she realized at once that she had no desire to go back there, to ever return to Orkney. She looked back out at the dark waters, and a wry smile came over her. She cast a spell to protect herself from the brutal elements, her right arm glowing softly, bluish tendrils curling out of her sleeve. She hiked up her white and black cape, then moved into the surf and cast another spell, this time with her left arm showing the mist of arcane energy, summoning a mount. Her water-borne steed arrived, and she packed her leather shoes away into her backpack and settled onto the dolphin's back. This was no ordinary animal, but a magical creation, fully under her control. She grasped its dorsal fin and, with a thought, sped away. She stayed near to the shore, her magical mount weaving around the many stones, and she tired quickly, surprised by how taxing the ride proved to be. She was in no hurry, though, other than her desire to be far from Orkney, and so she camped under the shelter of a rocky overhang, nestled beside a magical fire, eating conjured food, and drying her white gown and black shawl over a nearby tree branch. She was out the next morning, and then again the next afternoon after a long break for lunch and rest, and then called back an enchanted mount for a third run that day, albeit a short one. Catty Bree found herself at peace, alone with her thoughts and near to nature, near to Mialiki. By the third day, she noted the turn to the north, around the westernmost spur of the mountains, and at midday on the sixth day out of Orkney, Catty Bree stepped out of the water to feel cold dirt under her bare feet instead of wet, hard stone. The wind thrummed in her ears, and she knew she was home. She summoned a new mount, a spectral unicorn, and rode east along the north bank of the Shaingarn River, rushing across the leagues. Just beating the snows in the onset of the winter of 1482, Catty Bree came to the town of Bremen on the southern banks of Mare de Walden. The wind blew much colder now, and in a colder land than Orkney. But when Catty Bree mingled around the townsfolk of this western village in 10 towns, she didn't feel that way. Quite the opposite. She had come home, to a place she knew. And though the faces had changed with the passage of so many decades, Icewind Dale had not, and Ten Towns had not. She took great comfort in that familiarity, going from town to town as the 10 days and months drifted past. With her magical abilities, she came to be seen by the community as an asset, and she soon had friends in every tavern in every town. She needed to build trust and a network to garner information, and none were better at knowing the comings and goings than those selling food and drink. The Year of the Tasked Weasel, 1483, D.R., Icewind Dale.
"A most unusual halfling," Catty Bree whispered, glancing down from the grass atop a ridge to the lakeshore, her eyes filling with tears. That was how he had been described to her by one of the many friends she had made since arriving in Icewind Dale. She wasn't a resident of any of the towns, though she had split most of her time between Bryn Shander, the dwarven complex beneath Kelvin's cairn, and this place, Lonelywood. In Bryn Shander, a 10 day earlier, she had heard of a strange character who had come in on a caravan from Luskin, all full of dandy and decoration. A little investigating had led her here, to the outskirts of Lonelywood, looking down on a lake, looking down upon Regis. And surely she recognized her dear old friend. He wore facial hair now, and his curly brown hair was much longer than she had known. But it was unmistakably Regis, both in appearance and demeanor. He had survived the decades and had made it home to Icewind Dale. What a great relief flooded over Catty Bree at that moment. For the month she had been around Ten Towns, she had waited anxiously for this moment. In truth, she had been surprised to find out that Regis and Brunner had not arrived in the Dale before her, and that reality had only reminded her of the many dangers involved in getting here, and even surviving for 21 years in the dangerous realms. The world was wild and dark. Her own trials had only confirmed that. With her friends not to be found, coupled with the news she had gleaned of Drizzt, who had not been seen around Ten Towns in more than a decade, and who, it was said, had come running to Icewind Dale in flight from a great demon, and the woman had been near to despair. Catty Bree had seen the memorial to a drow named Tiago outside of Bryn Shander's western gate, on the spot where Tiago had reportedly destroyed the Balor in a great battle that had taken down part of Bryn Shander's wall and her gate. But that battle had been 15 years and more removed, and there had been no word of Drizzt. None. With no sign of Drizzt, and being the first of the three who had stepped out of Iruladu,